Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is sponsored by AppFigures. AppFigures is all about giving game makers the tools they need to get more downloads and revenue. You may already know them for analytics and app store optimization. Now, AppFigures can help you track competitors from how many downloads they're getting and how much money they're making to their audience demographics and even which SDKs they use. Their competitor intelligence gives you great context. Say a competitor has a new feature or was mentioned in the news. With AppFigures, you can see if that brought in more downloads. Got a great idea for an app or a game? With AppFigures, you can figure out how big the market is and how much money you could be making with it. And that's just scratching the surface. Whether you're growing your app or building a new one, AppFigures has the tools you need to reduce risk and get more downloads. You don't need a large budget or a data science degree to do this kind of stuff anymore. AppFigures has made it affordable and simple. On top of tools, AppFigures also provides a lot of guides and tutorials to take you step by step through gaining more visibility with ASO and increasing your revenue by learning from your competitors. They just released a free guide on that, actually. So head over to appfigures.com, appfigures.com/on. /GameDevUnchained to try AppFigures for free. If you like it, then use our special code GDU3030 to get 30% off for the next 3 months. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham, back at it again with the new episode of this year and kicking it off right with the one and only Ray Graham. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a while.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little later than usual where we want to post our first episode, but as everyone are catching up to at least my latest status and everything, just kind of been taking a break. And up to this point, we've been doing a lot of recap episodes. So this is a roundtable news episode. And for those who are new to listeners or followers of old, you know what this is about, where we as game developers look at the news and how it affects us. And again, these are opinions of our own and not of our employers, so please don't try to get us fired. To kind of kick things off,
you ain't got a job, man. Who's you?
I know, right? Just be complaining to me and I'll be kind of striking it down saying that I'm okay. But the main thing is, you know, it's been about 2 months where I kind of took a step away from the mic and regrouped, basically. And since then, dude, this has been the craziest period of studio acquisitions that I have ever seen. let's start it off with Activision, man. $68 billion purchase. Also, recently, Sony buying Bungie for about $3.5 billion. And then there was another acquisition in the meantime too, Microsoft buying Activision, but they also bought something else shortly after. I'm kind of forgetting. There was at least three major acquisitions this past month. Well, regardless, while I looked that up.
It was Take-Two. It was Take-Two and Zynga.
Take-Two and Zynga. There we go. Yeah. Zynga's stocks went up when no one thought that it would ever do that. So, to kick us off right, what do you make of all of this, right? I have a theory, but let's hear yours, you being the guest, of course.
I was just talking about this the other day, and I think it's really just the consolidation, right? It's just like the continuing of the trend of smaller companies getting eaten by the bigger fish, right? And then another bigger fish comes along and eats the bigger fish, right? Because games are getting more expensive to make. You need more talent. You need more IP. You need to you want to make a platform where you can control all that stuff. So you just got to amass the war chest of IP. At least that's my opinion.
Well, I mean, Microsoft is definitely batting a lot harder. I mean, this past year, you know, they acquired a lot of studios. What was it? The Oblivion, right? And then they took care of the Ninja Studio. What was it called? The Heavenly Sword.
Ninja Theory.
Yeah. So they've been on a slow grind, basically acquiring as much as they can on this war path. And, you know, we talked about this a few times last year where Game Pass is kind of like their future. They're slowly taking a step away from the console hardware business, right? So it makes a lot of sense that to make a streaming platform, you need IP and a lot of it to make a monthly service worth it, right? And Sony, I don't know if this was out of left field. I'm surprised that Bungie, having that long relationship with Microsoft, that and literally being next door to Microsoft, right, with the Halo franchise, that Sony was the one to swoop them up. I mean, was this a big surprise to you?
No. Well, it wasn't a surprise that I wasn't Microsoft, right? Because remember, they were owned by Microsoft, and yeah, they paid Microsoft to go away and get their independence, right? Like, they did that for a reason, true, right? And then they went into a publishing deal with Activision that expired in 2019, I think, I heard. And so now it's like, okay, and they, last year, they made their intentions known. They wanted to grow and have multiple IPs that they're working on and grow the studio. They're building a brand new office. I think it might be finished already, or it's still in progress. So they expanded their office space like immensely, right? So so they wanted to hire up and have multiple projects going. So, you know, all of this costs money, man. You know, and in these uncertain times, having somebody who can back you up financially is like super beneficial for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, for Bungie, I think it made a lot of sense. And maybe where a lot of these studios are for sale for probably the same reason, right? It is getting, I mean, we're past the point of a console generation transition, right? We're a year out. And those are always tough because there's a lot of mystery there for any studio to kind of get up to speed and see what the business is about.
It's cold out here in the streets. You know what I mean? No, seriously. Yeah. It's like what you're competing against. The games are just getting bigger and more impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, it just takes more energy, more effort to make games at the scale that these folks want to be making these games at. And it's just getting more costly and it's more risky. And so having a little bit better backing makes it less risky. You know what I mean? I think Activision is not exactly that, right? Because Activision has money and they're making those games. But I think their recent scandals and the price drop made them an attractive target for Microsoft to kind of scoop them up to alleviate them of some of their woes. You know what I mean? But in terms of Bungie, it's definitely like, it's just that added security. And I, you know, it's an arms race of AAA games out here, right? And so folks need to be able to get that backing so that they could get better marketing, so that they could reach more people, and then in turn make more money, right?
Yeah, I mean, for Bungie, like I said, you know, Destiny wasn't that big of a hit. I mean, it did okay, but it definitely died down pretty fast. But and they kind of got out of the Activision thing the same way they left Microsoft. And since then, we haven't heard too much about Bungie. They obviously are probably working on new IPs, keeping the Destiny alive as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But during the pandemic, you know, no one really talked about Destiny. It wasn't in the newsreel as much as probably what they have hoped. I think if anything, it maintained hardcore followers, right?
Yeah, I think like Destiny has, or Destiny 2 at this point, right, has like their followers and people are playing the PvP and that's going, right? Like, was it a runaway success like they were that people were expecting? Probably not. But I don't think it also was like a complete flop for them either, right? So so it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, still though, like I'm very surprised at these prices, right? Like, you can arguably talk about Activision being worth that much, right? They have Call of Duty, Mega Billionaire every year. They have Candy Crush and a bunch of other IPs, with Warzone especially exploding the past couple of years. So I mean, $68 billion is still ridiculous, but like, I think if someone really sat down to try to do the math, that they can find the breadcrumbs of why it's worth that much. But Bungie, right? Bungie...
No, like I think all these prices are just bloated. The price is what somebody's willing to pay for it. That's what the price is, right? And if you're going and buying Activision Blizzard for $68 billion and then PlayStation comes knocking on Bungie's door, Bungie's not going to be like, oh, we'll take a couple hundred million, right? Like, I mean, like I think 3.6 in the relative scale makes sense in that case. You know what I mean? Right.
Does it though? But man, like,
in that relative scale that we're talking about, right? 3.6 billion is what, like, my math is telling me 20 times. Let's just call it 20 times less than the Activision price tag. Is Bungie, Bungie 20 times less success? Like,
we're talking about relative, right? I look at acquisitions, not just in the game industry, but like, look at the movie industry, right? Disney buying let's say LucasArts, right? But Star Wars was only $4 billion, and
here's the thing that people one I think Disney got away with murder for getting Star Wars for $4 billion, right? Yeah. But like, in the grand scheme of things, the prices that people are paying are not about what is here right now. They're paying this money for investments into the future, right? The same thing with like Facebook buying Oculus, right? Like, that price tag, everybody was like, that price tag's ridiculous. We'll never make that back. And they probably still haven't made that money back, right? But it's a bet on what future they can do with it, right? Not just the now, right? And like I said, like, when it comes to this stuff, the price is whoever's willing, whatever you're willing to pay, right? That's the price. That's what it's worth, right? It's really hard to put a,
well, I really undervalued Bungie at this point. That's what, because right now, you know, it's not like they have Halo, right? They already sold Halo franchise. They only have Destiny. I mean, but Destiny isn't that mega of a hit. Well, somebody, 3.6 billion, man?
Well, 3.6. Somebody said this, and I thought it was interesting. Like, PlayStation has, like, single-player experiences on lock, right? Yeah. They have a lot of games in their camp that are really good and have that unlocked, but there isn't much in terms of really good multiplayer experience or even games as a service in their camp, right? So now if you like, hey, we could ready buy a developer who has experience in this realm, and this could propel us into this area and potentially money, the money that also brings in for them, right? So then, like, maybe 3.6 billion isn't that crazy, you know, if you think about it like that, right?
Their new IP better be bomb, man, and it better not be Destiny 3. That's what I gotta say. The only thing that Destiny had going for it is that it was able to fight off Anthem, but I don't even give him credit for that, because Anthem kind of just shot itself in its foot.
Anthem just kind of try to bite their style though too. But no, like, when they made their announcement that they're expanding and wanted more IP, it's something like four different games they're thinking about working on, right? So I'm pretty sure they have those same kind of ambitions, right?
Okay, so what's the play here? So Sony obviously is in a better position to kind of sit back and be very picky, right? They have internal IPs that are just as big. They are growing their game to movies branding, right? Uncharted is coming out very soon. Sure. Yeah. Last of Us have a HBO series already signed off, and these two games probably will make kick-ass video and TV adaptation, right?
Yeah.
So no doubt about that. And it's definitely a bridge for all their other IPs to kind of make that jump either through animation or whatever, right? I am surprised by this Bungie acquisition, but you know, we're the public, so we're obviously didn't see what the next 5-10 years that Bungie has up its sleeve. So obviously whatever they had justified $3.6 billion somehow. Right?
He's like, somehow.
Okay. But so, like, I'm trying to see what's left for Sony to scoop up. I mean, like, it's getting to the point where Take-Two and EA at some point can be sold to these two major studios. I mean, what else is left as a third party?
Ubisoft,
okay. Well, Ubisoft.
People said Ubisoft is a harder one because it's still
their IP is pretty vast. Well, yeah,
no, it's not that, but they're mostly owned by the brothers, right? The Guillemot brothers, right? So like convincing them to sell, you have to like convince those dudes, like pretty much, right? And it's like a family business that they started, and the chances of them doing that is probably pretty low, maybe potentially. Or you know, I think everybody has a price, but we'll see, right?
Well, Ubisoft is kind of going through, you know, at some point, you know, one of the focus for this year has been, and we'll save it for another round too, because it's a whole thing itself, where the great resignation, right? Oh, it's Lord, a thing. I don't want to talk about it because it's a whole thing, but I would like to comment because it is pertaining to Ubisoft. Ubisoft is, at least what I've heard, is going through one of the toughest exodus right now. People are leaving in
they've been losing people for the last 5 years.
In mobs.
And it's gotten worse, right? But
it's gotten way worse,
But they've definitely been losing people for like a long time now. And of course, all the allegations and everything has made it worse. And then also, like, quite frankly, like Sledgehammer opening office in Toronto has not helped Ubisoft Toronto at all.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, like, yeah, there's been some movements that have caused it to accelerate for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to insinuate is that, you know, Activision was going through a similar and is going through a similar thing. A lot of people are leaving, a lot of allegations, a lot of lawsuits piling up, and they see it as something that wouldn't be resolved in the next couple of years, and that basically Microsoft gave them a lifeline, right? It was coming at a perfect time at a great price. So I can see Ubisoft going through a similar thing, because what they're going through is very similar, and in some cases probably a little worse, because you Canadians are pretty bad. And then so they might be leading up to at least talks, I think, at this stage, right? A lot of interest.
Like, you never know. You never know what's happening behind closed doors, but like, it would make sense for somebody to be like, "Hey, guys, let's take this off your hands," right? Yeah. Because the IP, like Ubisoft has like some good IP, right? And like, and I think like with Microsoft, like Game Pass is just it's all you can eat video games, right? And so it's just insatiable. Black hole of content, and like you just need more content coming in there, and if it's not content that you control, I don't think it's sustainable to be paying all these people to get onto Game Pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just makes more sense to have internal content. I think it's the same thing like kind of with like Netflix, right? Netflix started making their own movies because they're just like, at this point, we just can't keep paying all these people for their content. We have to make our own, right? So that's kind of how I see it. I'm sure Microsoft's looking for more content, and I think it's so insatiable that it's there's always going to be an opportunity for some bigger, like mid-size or large publisher to get snatched up by them, because they also have a ton of money just sitting around as well. Right?
Well, speaking of tons of money, right? January, $85.4 billion in these acquisitions, right? Three major acquisitions that we talked about, Zynga kind of kicking things off, Microsoft. I mean,
the Activision one just takes up most of that, right? The other ones are kind of small in comparison.
But look at this, like Zynga, $12.7 billion. These are exorbitantly, like Zynga I thought was dead, right? I thought it was on its way out.
Here's another thing about this, on this topic, that I thought was interesting. And I didn't see a lot of people, people kind of mentioned it, right? Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard, King comes along for that ride, right? So that's a really big mobile video gaming company, right? Zynga is known for their mobile games, right? And I think it's fair to say that Microsoft and Take-Two haven't really been dominating that space at all, right?
Yeah,
for years. Yeah. And there's money to be made, lot of it in that space, right? So like those acquisitions also like that, those big price tags like that, if you just think about mobile alone, you know, like it could easily make up for that, you know, over years. Yeah.
Mobile, I think, is obviously a safer bet than I think buying someone like Bungie, who is in a lull period in between AAA to quadruple A or whatever, right? There's a lot of things they have to figure out. But I guess, Zynga is a branded name. They have valuable IPs where they were stuck in the trenches for a little while, but dug themselves out of it, right? I was one to discount them. And they were, you know, as a business, was able to kind of thrive through all that horribleness and still remain relevant. So there's definitely something to kind of marvel and kind of pay attention to for anybody that's wanting to study like these type of companies turning shit around. I do want to highlight, you know, the big three deals that happened in January, everyone kind of knows about them, but there are other like smaller deals that kind of made January very special, at least unique situation that hasn't happened for a while, right? A lot of these studios I don't know about, maybe you do. Stillfront acquiring mobile publisher Six Ways for $201 million. I'm just going to read these off. Teen 17 spent $100 million on indie publisher The Label and the Hell Let Loose IP, and further $86 million on developer Astrogon. We just need to create our own IPs, bro. Huh?
Yeah, I know Team 17 for sure. You know?
Okay.
But yeah, like I think that's the other thing people, you know, I think a lot of folks are seeing all this stuff and they're like, yeah, man, let me just make an IP that somebody wants and then like, let me just sell that. You know what I mean?
What is it right now? What is your take right now that's causing this wave of acquisition? Like what's the deal right now where everyone's just snatching everybody up?
I don't know. Economy, cheap money.
So like, are these companies in trouble more so than it was before the pandemic? Is that why this period is special, or?
I don't know. I don't know if it's special or it's just a confluence of like a lot of coincidences happening all in the one month. But I mean, there's probably some element to all of those things playing a part, right? Like, you know, economy, very cheap money, interest rates might go up. So yeah, maybe it's time to start, you know, investing some of that money in other things and other ventures right now than just having it sit doing nothing. Mm-hmm. this is also around the end of fiscal years for some folks. Like fiscal year ends in February, March timeframe for some folks. So like, let's get some acquisitions in before that. Mm-hmm. Like there's all sorts of reasoning around that. Probably, I ain't no businessman. So, you know, I can't really tell you exactly, but,
so it's like old money. I have an overarching theory, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's not a coincidence that the past couple of months, the metaverse kind of is the hot topic, right? And to make the metaverse successful, a lot of it needs successful IPs to power it. Otherwise, who's going to visit your metaverse with no branding, right? So everyone, to me, feels like is just prepping for this Ready Player One internet 2.0. There seems to be a common driving force, like even Sony, right? I feel like Sony reluctantly bought Bungie only to keep it out of Microsoft's hands, right?
Somebody else said this.
All right. So it's a good theory.
Okay. No, I think it's just a little bit too much tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. Sure. Oh, this means this, that means this kind of thing.
And it's all connected, man.
And I think most of it is, I think really, okay, we say metaverse and all that. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I think what it is, and I think it's clear, and it's been clear for a while, and Microsoft has been kind of at the forefront of it, right? It's about the software. It's about IP. It's about having a platform, right? And having a stable of different things that you can offer people of various tastes, right? And so Sony is like, we're pretty good. Like, we don't need to be snatching up everybody. And then they're like, but wait, we don't really do multiplayer very well. Okay, let's snatch up somebody for a good price that does multiplayer, you know. And they're like, okay, yeah, the Bungie thing seems like a good price. I don't think they're doing that strictly, haha, Microsoft, you can't have Bungie. Bungie wasn't going to get bought by Microsoft. No way. That was never going to happen. Right? You know what I mean?
You're telling me if Sony was in the picture that Microsoft
they actively gave Microsoft money to get rid of Microsoft out of Bungie years.
Bro, they did that for a reason, bro. You know what Bungie was like?
They did that for a reason.
You know what Bungie is like to me at this point, right? They thought they were the hot chick, right? And then they got tossed out by Activision, right? The breakup happened with Microsoft, all right? And they went on to do this thing, and then it didn't work out with the Activision again. I think two major publishers, right, kind of cutting ties with them, mutually. Yeah. It's not like Bungie forcibly got out of their Microsoft contract.
No.
It was a two-way street.
Microsoft would have gladly had Bungie making Halo until the end of time.
Yeah, sure.
And Bungie's like, no.
I want to do other things.
We want to do other things. So Microsoft's like, I know about that, right? Because this is where the money's at. Like,
well, they have the hot chick syndrome, right? That's what I'm saying. You're supporting my theory.
That's actually wanting to make different experiences.
And they made Destiny, and it was hot for a second, but it wasn't as hot as Halo, right? And they're living in their shadows, and they're sitting there with Activision. You know, that original deal was a 3-game deal, right? It was a 10-year thing.
It got caught off in five to six years. What it really showed me was like they just don't want to be owned and controlled by anybody.
And yeah, so that's a spoiled rat thinking that he's awesome.
And then you see it obviously with the Sony deal where they're like, and of course, like this could all change, of course, right? But like their promise, Sony's like, we won't interfere. Yeah. Independently operated, you still do your thing. We just publish your stuff, right? Like, actually, not even that. Like, they still retain the rights to publish your stuff too, right? Sony's just like, we'll just back you, right? You know what I mean? So, like it's clear they don't want to be owned by anybody. They want independence, but independence comes at a price. You know what I mean? And with Sony backing you, independence is a lot better. You know what I mean? right? And so it's clear from the deal and from the terms of the deal that like they just don't want to be owned by nobody, and they don't want anybody controlling their IP, telling them what to do, right? They learned that from Microsoft. Microsoft took the Halo, like not took it, but like bought it.
Right.
But like they learned from that. They're like, no, we don't want to do that again. Right. Like that's how at least I interpret all the different moves that are going on there.
Now Sony owns Destiny.
No, they don't, because Bungie still retains all of their IP and they have complete control.
Wait, how does this work? They bought the studio. I mean, they didn't buy.
You don't know the terms of.
They didn't buy a campus. I mean, they bought Bungie because of their IP. That's what it was. $3.6 billion.
Of course, they're going to get a cut of things out of this, right? But literally, Bungie retains control of the IP.
Sure, if you go to In-N-Out. Like a franchise owner, right? That person will probably say, yeah, I own this In-N-Out. In-N-Out has nothing to do with the branding, and they get a 10%. That's ownership, man. Like, In-N-Out owns you. You're a franchise owner.
This can change, right? But like after the deal closes, Bungie will be an independent subsidiary, right?
Sure.
It will remain a multi-platform studio, so they're going to still make multi-platform games, with the option to self-publish and reach players wherever they choose to play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Air quotes.
Of course this could all change like down the line. Next thing you know, Sony suits are.
Yeah. The same way a 10-year deal became a 5-year deal with Activision, right? Things change.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you what the terms are today. And it's definitely way more in line with what Bungie wants than say the deal that they had with Microsoft or with Activision previously.
Yeah, it's Sony's betting on them. I mean, it'd be great if they make like another Halo branded mega hit, right? Sony will be happy with that. But for sure, they have a line there where when you don't make a Halo clone of some sort, right, we will come over and take over, and we're going to use whatever resources you have to do what we think is best, right? They have one more chance, in my opinion, to kind of shape things up and do what they can as a studio and prove themselves again. I mean, it's a sensitive time. Like, it's so hard, right, to be a studio that had a mega hit, tried to do it with Destiny, didn't quite get there. There's only so much self-validation you can go through before you just look at the clock, right? These owners are old as shit now, right? And they're like, hey, I'm going to retire.
None of those dudes struggling for money, right?
Like, right now, their whole goal with that studio has been fulfilled, right? They sold to Sony for $3.6 billion. What ambitions left are there to try to recreate a Halo, you know?
You could have just been like, from the money that, I don't know how many of them are still around from when they initially got bought by Microsoft, right? But from that though, you could have just bounced. Or from the Activision deal, you could have just bounced, right? And no,
they didn't bounce because they wanted. They still had that grit, man. They still had that. I need to prove to the world that ego. The ego can take them very far, right?
Sure, but, right.
It worked. It worked to a certain degree because they sold it for $3.6 billion.
But I think
for it's more scraps.
Clear. I think it's more clear that they want the company Bungie to become like a big multimedia entertainment thing, right? They want it. And with Sony support, right, their IPs can get more reach. Like you say, with the film stuff.
TV adaptation, anime.
A true multimedia company, you know what I mean? And not just making some video games.
All right. I'll wait in the sidelines and see, right? Bungie at a point where... I've never been a Halo supporter, but I at least recognize that it is a successful IP for its own reason, right? So there's respect to that. I think Destiny started as something interesting, right? And maybe part of the reasoning of why it failed was because the Activision tampering too much of their business model, and it just turned a lot of people off, maybe. Or the game just wasn't that interesting, really. Right?
And honestly, we're sitting here and talking about how Destiny kind of flopped. The first one flopped. The second one did better.
Did okay. Yeah.
But like, yeah, kind of did okay. And we're comparing it to Halo, right? Which is like, I think any game,
godsend.
Yeah, like any game that would end up being as big as Halo, like nobody can predict that or know that that's what it's going to be, right? And so now forever, you have a bunch of yahoos on like some sort of YouTube podcast thing talking about how, oh, your other game that made millions of dollars, right, is not as successful as this other like one that's like in the top 2% of video games ever made, right? Like I think it's really hard to make that comparison, you know what I mean?
Hard for you. I'll make the comparison. I think Bungie is washed up, right? I think whatever they put out from this point forward.
You're straight tripping there. Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna recreate that magic. They're gonna take a while. I think this past 2 years they had the opportunity to kind of take Destiny to wherever they wanted. But the ship has sailed. I think they're saying
Destiny 2.
What's Destiny 2?
It's making an estimated $200 million in revenue.
Last year?
Yeah, let's say.
Or overall?
Let's say last year. I don't know.
I really doubt that's last year, bro. Dude, look at our circles, right? I'm looking at my kid. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to my friends that play games.
Yo, dude, the Destiny franchise. Oh, hold on. The Destiny franchise is the most popular series of gaming today. Since 2014, pulling in more than 167 million players who have played more than 8.6 billion hours, right?
The first 2 years, maybe.
Right? Like,
those numbers are front loaded, right? There's no way that their concurrent players are pretty good right now.
Also, those numbers are way less than some of the biggest games out there. Right. And so because it's not as big as Fortnite and Warzone, the games we talk about all the damn time, it's like it must be a flop and a failure. But like those are some big ass numbers, yo. For especially when you consider like Bungie, the studio is a couple hundred people.
No, they're not. They're 900 people.
Are they 900 people these days?
That's the last one I read. Yeah, it's a 900.
That's crazy. Oh,
that's why they bought like a freak. Bro, yeah. This is my theory, right? And it's probably truth. This is exactly their timeline, right? Their head was huge, right? Halo was a hit. And their sequel became a hit. They sold their baby, right? Because they felt like, hey, we can do this again. Destiny happened. It wasn't as big as they wanted, right? They started blaming Activision for its troubles. They divorced from Activision. Activision was the same as Microsoft, glad to walk away from that deal, right? They were just cutting their losses at that point. And for the last 2-3 years of them handling Destiny their own way, very little impact, right? It's like, oh, maybe we don't know everything that we need to know in this changing landscape of video games.
I'm glad you're never going to apply for a job at Bungie, yo, because you're talking crazy right now. You're talking straight.
So they're at a point where, yeah, their for sale sign was for everybody, and Sony picked them up, right? Because Sony's probably saw business opportunities there beyond just Destiny, right? And it isn't a new IP, right? It isn't like this golden goose egg that they got brewing in their studio, right? You know, it's a studio with 900 people. They built a state-of-the-art office that was basically empty for the last 2 years, right? Still paying that rent.
Dude,
right?
In 2015, Destiny revenue hit $500 million.
Yeah, like, and Activision took like 75% of that, right? So, I mean, if we're talking about Activision, that number is not the same, man. Like,
I'm out here tripping, like straight up.
Bro. Who was the last person you talked to that was just saying, hey, I just played a round of Destiny 2, right?
Dude, that's what I'm trying to tell you, right?
Who?
Using that as your empirical
proof. It's a great measure. It's a great measuring stick. It's
not actually, though, right?
Bro.
Because if you ask me...
I have an 11-year-old that never heard of Destiny. No, I have a 30-year-old friend that used to play Destiny but don't play anymore. Right?
If you ask me, Fortnite, Warzone, Destiny, yeah. Have you played any of those in the last 6 months, Dan?
I play Fortnite. No, yes, right? I have.
Right, I'm saying me. Right?
You.
So it depends on who you like. That's sort of informal.
But you know, oh, friends that have been playing Fortnite. You know, friends that have been playing.
No, Warzone. I know a bunch of kids that have been playing Fortnite.
Okay, but that still counts. And you know, a bunch of friends playing Warzone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. See, right? But nobody's saying Destiny is as big as Fortnite or Warzone. That's
bro. But right? I'm telling you, out of all your friends, who's playing Destiny right now? Not even one.
I'm not saying that is not true. What I'm saying is using that as a measure of saying
it's a great measure.
No money being made here is crazy.
Well, money used to be made. I'm just saying it's considerably less now, and that's why they sold out to Sony, man. A lot of these acquisitions, man. If they really thought they were worth more, they would have held out longer.
No, man. The reason why we already said this off the rip why they sold, right?
Yeah,
it's cold out here, man.
Yeah,
it's more risky to make these things. You want to scale up and make even more IP you're making now. You want to hire people, you want to do all these things, you need the financial backing. You cannot do this alone, right? At the scale that they want to do it at.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you cannot. Right. And so, and that's really more saying washed up. Their game sucked. They're about to close down. They need to sell. Like, yeah, bro, you're tripping. Right.
All right. All right. Let's just end it here because there's other acquisitions I want to talk about that are like, to me, to put it lightly, worth more to talk about. Right. So where do you see this? Right. You really think the next, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Next 3-5 years, they're going to have either Destiny 3, most likely, and a new IP announced that justifies this acquisition being $3.6 billion. Is that what you're saying? That there is something on the horizon here that
I know
Bungie is cooking?
I know of nothing. All I know, last year.
This is all speculation.
They posted something saying, hey, we got more IPs brewing. And we want to grow and expand and all of this, right? Like, that's all I know. And so, like, yeah, you know, I would imagine that, you know, Sony looks at that and goes, what can we do? Like, how can this help us, you know?
I think if it's multiplayer,
where Sony's kind of weak right now. Right? So.
Well, they're going to get a little weaker because my next, I think their next installment or whatever it is gonna be even harder to recapture. Just forget Halo flame, the Destiny flame, right? I think they're gonna, I just don't think they're relevant.
It's always hard to make Halo, it's hard to make Destiny.
But I'm not even comparing to Halo. I don't think they're gonna be able to match Destiny's popularity with their next IP.
I mean, saying that about any game and any game developer.
I'm saying it about Bungie because they sold for 3.6.
No. Saying that about any game developer, you have a non-zero chance of being correct always. Right? Because this shit is hard, bro. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to make that prediction.
Yeah, I know. This is me sitting in our living room knowing that it's hard. But somehow Sony, knowing that it's hard, still, you know, gave out $3.6 billion, right? So
I had the same discussion like with somebody months ago.
Yeah, like, because everyone says this is stupid.
No. I had a different discussion, right? But it's like what I'm saying is it's always hard. It's always going to be difficult to make these things. And if I say, hey, your next thing that come out, it's not going to be Halo. Yeah, of course, because it's lightning in a bottle almost always, and so it's easy to say that, right? But when you have the backing of somebody with money, that tips the scale slightly in your favor and makes it a little bit more likely that you'll end up in a good spot. Right.
Well, let's talk about this on a grander scale.
But it still does not mean lightning in a bottle, right? But it means you're in a spot where you make positive profit and can continue making video games, right?
Well, this is
why, because you have the marketing backing, You have all this stuff so they can reach more people and you have more success. You know how this works.
Well, you know, we would like to say the marketing people know what they're doing all the time in the game industry, but you know, they don't.
We want to hate on marketing all day, and we can hate on marketing all day, but at the end of the day, we know that marketing works.
Marketing works sometimes. Yeah. But I will say this, right? These acquisitions, to me, I'm a lover of the game industry. I think if you're a game developer, go get paid however you can. But, you know, these numbers are staggering. If we were just compared to the Disney acquisitions, I mean, these are Disney acquisition. There's like a structure there, right? When you acquire a new IP, you know, Disney will put it into its Disney machine and make banger bucks, right? It's almost a guarantee. Right. So those numbers to me, with the LucasArts stuff, with Pixar, with Marvel, you know, there's a certain guarantee there that I feel the movie industry will see that money back. Right. And much, much more. And they proved it with every single one of those acquisitions. Right. With games, it's still such a mystery box, like you've been kind of preaching this whole time. Yeah. And these numbers are much. These acquisitions are ridiculous. Like it makes me feel that we need to create an IP and just be playing dice out there, dude, for sale, because these numbers don't justify. Like, we can't say Bungie stuff is going to sell as well as Pixar, you know, Toy Story toys, right? Like, there's no connection there.
No. Like, okay.
If I come up to you, Ray, it's like, hey, do you want Pixar or do you want Bungie for the same price, which sold for the same price?
It sold for the same price.
Pixar was $4 billion.
That's a different price, by the way.
Okay. I'll take away Toy Story, right? And give you the rest for $3.6 billion.
When you talk about billions, right? Like, a difference of $1 billion is actually a very large difference, right?
Okay. But even if I take like half the Pixar branding franchises, right, and say I sell it for 3.6, let's just do that, right? You and everybody else in this world will choose the Pixar thing because there's a guarantee there with licensing to make your money back. No one's going out there to buy Destiny dolls, right, or backpacks. Like, I think what is going on here?
And I also think you're also applying like your new knowledge about that, like all the successes since, to that deal as well, right? So you're like, that's the smartest deal ever. Look how cheap they got it for, right? Oh my God, right? I think, you know, if the folks that were selling Pixar knew like their success would continue like that and things would still be so great for them. Although some people say that Pixar's gone downhill since Disney bought them and et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. But they probably would have sold it for more, right? You know what I mean? Right. But like, things are worth what people are willing to pay for them at the time. That's just how it works, right? And so I think it's really hard to make those kind of comparisons, right? And honestly, honestly, movies are big in terms of like the market cap and how much people watch movies and how much revenue they generate. Video games generate more revenue than movies.
Sometimes.
Not sometimes, like as an industry, it does. Right, like
as an industry, yes,
yeah, it's just a fact, right? So then if you're going to go in and buy a video game company, should it not be worth more than a movie company then?
No. Because I know how the sausage is made, and a lot of it's luck, right?
No, there's no structure. But I think it's luck too in films, right?
I think as a business model, there's more transparency. Yeah,
all entertainment, I feel, has some sort of is hit driven industry, right? Yeah. And Pixar got a hit, found like a formula.
Yeah.
And replicate it and replicate it very efficiently across many different movies and many different IPs, right? Yeah. And they have some movies that have not done as well as Toy Story, and they have some that have done better than Toy Story, right? And so they're not 100% knocking it out of the park every single movie they make either. You know what I mean? But they have an assembly line and they have a process, right? That they adhere to, you can pretty much say
all their movies are making tons of dough. Maybe not as successful.
But I think it's the same thing, right? The same thing you're just saying, oh, Destiny's a flop, blah, blah, blah. It's not making as much as like Halo made, right? Like Pixar had the same situation, I'm sure. They have movies that have made nowhere near as much as Toy Story has made.
We're talking about a movie that they're pumping out like basically every quarter now, right? Like they have a thing where every 6 months they have a new Pixar movie.
And then the Marvel stuff is on, like, it's just on it.
But that's line. What I mean with movies. With movies, it's
an assembly line, right?
From a single studio, you're getting to a point where you're seeing two projects in Marvel. There's four projects a year, right? In Pixar, I think there's like an average of two projects per year, and they set it up that way, and they kind of trade hands with the Walt Disney animation. Destiny, right? You're talking about 5 years of development.
But my point is like I think. That assembly line in that process, some people look at that and say, oh, that is like, oh, the quality is not as high as it should be. It's just kind of like, we're just like just churning this stuff out. Yeah. And like, it's really just mindless fluff. And I think that matches a lot what people say about video games, right? That these companies that just make sequel after sequel and have a process of making video games, but a la Ubisoft and Call of Duty and all those games, right? People say the same thing about them, right? But they found a process for making something, repeating it
year on year. All right, so we're at least agreeing on that. Like the successful studios like Activision, Ubisoft have proven that they have mastered a process that works.
And that's worth money.
Yeah,
as long as their IPs.
Bungie. I don't think they're at that level. Right,
and that's why the price was lower. Right?
I'm a skeptic. I mean, I just gotta see. Like, I understand these other acquisitions, even Zynga. Yeah. I kind of give them.
I would understand props. if people were tripping. If Bungie got bought for like $60 billion or something crazy, and everybody's like $60 billion, the same as Activision. That makes no sense, right? But it's relatively. Scale down, I think, appropriately for what we're talking about here. You know what I mean?
I think Bungie definitely got the better end of that deal. Is all I'm gonna say to conclude. I mean,
it's worth what people are willing to pay for it, bro.
All right. Sony have to have some type of write off. So let's just count that off as one. You know, we can talk about Activision a bit, but I mean, you know, aside from the acquisition, aside from what's going on over there, I mean, we didn't even talk about Blizzard as part of that deal, right? I mean, that alone was worth more than
like
half.
The Activision Blizzard stuff, like, I think it was that, even though that number is ridiculous,
most folks
were like, I can't be mad at that number, right? Because they're like Call of Duty, StarCraft, Diablo.
Sure.
What else we got? I could even like
Overwatch.
The King by itself, like, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just money printing machine.
I keep forgetting what else Activision makes now. Besides Blizzard stuff. Right, it's now. Like, it's COD. Used to be Tony Hawk. Used to have Guitar Hero.
Well, it's still Tony Hawk. They just made a new Tony Hawk the other day.
Remastered. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, all the Guitar Hero stuff is done now, pretty much. The Toys for Bob. The Skylander stuff. But this is an IP that, you know, you can revive and do things with. Right. And then they also own a bunch of back catalog stuff. People are talking about like a bunch of old games that we used to play back in the day on PC.
They have a lot of good old Activision games.
Don't they have a lot of the Interplay games from back in the day or something? I can't even remember.
Probably.
But they have a lot. There's a lot of IP there. right?
Sure.
So it just makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's more interesting to talk about who's next, right? Is it Ubisoft? Is it EA?
I'm surprised no one's buying Epic yet. I'm saying that right now. Even you guys. Well, maybe we can't talk about it, but Unity bought freaking Weta, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was out of left field. It's like you guys completely skipped games and just went into virtual production, I guess, full force. You can't comment on it, but at least, you know, that was, I think, one of the biggest deals. That was, to me, in a sense, made sense.
Yeah. But I mean, even when that deal happened, a lot of people were just looking at the price tag going, what? You know what I mean?
Right? That was a ridiculous price tag, too. What was that? I got to look that up. It was it was like over $5 billion, right?
It had bees on it. Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah.
All right, let me find this out for the listeners out there, just so. 1.6?
Yeah, 1.6 billion. Yeah.
Oh, man. For a visual effects house.
Yeah. Well, you say a visual effects house is like one of the best visual effects houses in the world, but yeah. Sure. but still, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and this happened in November. Right, this is at least announced in November. I mean, the last 3 months have been insane with acquisition. It's like I've never seen anything like it, and just to count the last 5-10 years, you know, I haven't seen back to back like this.
I think it's all the same thing, man. It's cold out here, man. You try to sell stuff to people. You need to expand and grow to give them the features they need. And you just need somebody there to back you. You could do it yourself. It'll be a slower grind. Or you could get an infusion and partner with somebody and get the right. I'm going to pull out my C-suite talk and be like, you get the right synergies. And then you can and then you can propel your growth even more, right? And everybody benefits, right? And we just been seeing this slowly, you know, all this consolidation in the video game engine space. Epic and Unity just gobbling up
their own IPs too.
Different, not IPs, but different technologies to kind of make a bigger experience. Yeah. You know, like Quixel getting bought by Epic and all that.
You guys bought your own human character creator too, right?
Yeah, that happened. That was
just recently too. It's very interesting. It's exciting. I mean, overall, as a consumer and a game developer, like I'm actually looking forward to what these deals will enable these studios to do. Right? I know I've been hating for 30 minutes on Bungie. I'm excited. You know, there's 900 mouths to feed there, right? So now it gives them a foundation to not worry about, Destiny's not that great. Oh, the next IP doesn't sound great either. You know, it gives them a little calm before the storm. And I'm glad that 900 developers are sleeping easy with the Sony deal. And I'm looking forward to always hearing, you know, what Sony is going to give how they're going to give the resources to make them even more successful, right?
Yeah. We'll see, right? You know, when Facebook bought Oculus, everybody's like, "Well, we'll see what happens there," right? And it's been.
I will say this. I want to ask you this, right? Like, we're hitting the hour mark. I want to kind of end it with this. I'm surprised that there hasn't been too much VR, HoloLens, AR acquisitions. That, you know, I thought for sure that the pandemic will accelerate any VR, AR. Technology movement, but completely dead, right? Well, I mean, Magic Leap, I think, got saved, right, by another sale or whatever, right? They were kind of drowning.
And they also pivoted to be more commercial use.
Yeah,
but it's kind of hard to say that, right? Like, I think a lot of the buzz around VR, all that has kind of died down, has kind of been replaced with the metaverse. But like a big component of what people are trying to strive for in the metaverse, like it's going to require VR and AR, I feel.
Yeah.
Right. And so that, you know, like Facebook basically put all the chips on black, you know what I mean? And renamed the company. Right. And I'm sure VR, AR is going to be a big component of that. And there's new devices they're developing, I'm sure. And Apple's developing devices, I'm sure. And everybody's developing.
Devices, right?
But there isn't the buzz. Like that's the thing.
Buzz have
like,
died.
The buzz was so high for VR, right? Yeah. That it's finally died down a bit to like more manageable levels of buzz, and everybody realizes there's like a really big
hurt. Oh, it's pretty dead in the water right now. Like
we say that, but like Quest is trucking. Right.
Quest is trucking to a degree, right? I kind of measure it again, my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? Like I need to see my brother-in-law, I need to see my sister-in-law, I need to see these regular people having a set. And we're just not there yet. They're not going out racing to get a Quest 2.
Because like not everybody's gonna put this thing on their face. I think so far they've shipped 10 million units. Right.
Yeah.
Which is pretty respectable in like in VR terms, right?
Yeah,
when some people are doing 1 million units or whatever, right?
Sure.
So, but it's there's still a barrier to like putting this thing on your head and like and not being able to see out, and there's still a lot of technological hurdles to make it way more mass appeal.
Yeah,
I think that's the main thing holding all of this stuff back right now, but it doesn't mean we won't get there, you know what I mean? But that's what's holding it back, that's what's made the buzz die down, that's what, like, if you're making a VR game, getting funding is a lot harder than it used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
Right, everybody's kind of moved on to metaverse and NFTs and all that kind of nonsense, right?
Yeah.
So but like it does not mean that the tech still won't improve, right? And especially with Facebook pushing all the chips in, they could probably will it into existence.
I mean, that's the only thing that, to be honest, I feel is keeping that sector afloat, right? Facebook is seeing it as their future Facebook 2.0, right? My only concern is that just seeing what Facebook is working on, right? The Horizon and all these silly, I was like, man, these guys, I know we have friends that work there, right? I know we have good game developers there. I was like, this is the best they can come up with. They know this is shit, right? I just feel like these guys, our friends are chilling over there, right? They know this is stupid, right? Right? It's non-appealing. And you know what it reminds me of? When you watch a stupid movie or TV show, right? And somehow there's a clip of a kid playing video games. And of course the game graphics is made by like a third party in Mexico. You know, it looks like nothing like a video game, right? It's just bad animation. That to me is what Facebook is doing with VR. With their IP, like these are silliness, right? It's just silliness. It's like it's literally what Zuckerberg thinks is cool, right?
I think
is clearly also, not cool.
No, I think there's also technological things that guy are kind of holding it back to, right?
You can't say power, that, man. I'm at a point where you can probably say that years ago, but Nintendo has proven that graphic doesn't matter if it's fun. Like I feel VR is at a point.
Yeah.
That it can deliver something compelling. I mean, there are a lot of good VR games already.
Yeah.
But like what they're using it for, like I'm looking at a stupid version of you in a VR platform. It doesn't appeal to people, man. It just doesn't. It's not fun.
But like I'm saying, this is the first, these are first steps, right? Like I think what we're seeing is...
I feel like they got the wrong people, man, with these first steps. First step needs to be inspirational. Like see the potential. I'm looking at their first step and it's like, I know where this ends and it's stupid. It's like, don't waste your time. I know what step 10 looks like. It's the better looking version of this. This is a very dumb way of how people want to utilize VR. It's... They need to just watch Ready Player One, man. Like this is where I feel game studios like Valve, like Epic has a better chance of creating this metaverse. Like, I really do feel if you give it the hands of Epic, even you guys, Unity, even any game studio, right? Just give the hands of, like, hey, make Ready Player One happen. They'll be closer to making Facebook 2.0 than Facebook right now, right? Facebook, I feel, is so outdating themselves. And I think a lot of it is because they're relaxed, man. Like, we have friends there. Dude, all they do is eat. All they do is eat at their buffet and then clock out at like 3 p.m. with their Surface Pros. And they, you know, Facebook people are the laziest workers, man. Everyone that I know work there, they're just clocking it in and clocking it out. There's no passionate inspiration left. Because look at Facebook.
I don't know this
right now.
Just for the record, I do not know this guy. I
just look at Facebook's website right now, man.
I don't know.
Even Facebook doesn't care. It's the ugliest UI. They're doing nothing with it. Anything that he's saying right now. This is my opinion. In my opinion, they need.
I am not co-signing this.
Bro, I think their idea is correct, right? They need to get a bunch of badass game developers in there to change shit around, because their user experience right now, right, is lacking. Going on Facebook.com right now is a fucking chore, right? Everything is a mess, right? What I used to love about it is, like, cluttered through all these groups and all these marketplace, you know, like, I feel like I don't even bother updating anymore because of their algorithm, it feels like no one actually sees it unless you, like, sell it as an ad, right? Right? It's all types of messed up. And I feel like the old guards who are managing these game developers coming in, right? And what's worse is I feel like a lot of these game developers that are coming in are looking for a kosher place to relax, right? They're not looking to build the next thing. It's not the right people.
I can't agree with that. I feel a lot of people are there to try to do something big and get paid doing it. While of course they're getting paid, right?
But you gotta be hungrier than that.
But even if you do end up pulling something off, you're gonna get paid even more, right? So they're incentivized to pull something off.
Well, the problem is they need these millennials. I'm hate, you know, the really young millennials.
I think one of the main problems is, like,
to rethink how it works.
When you get to that kind of size and scale,
it's hard to innovate.
Really hard to move, right? And that's the problem, I feel. But also, like, we're talking about this. Literally, Facebook announced their earnings like today.
Yeah, they're selling ads. Sure.
No. I'm gonna give you
all right raw numbers. Do it.
They did bad, right? They missed some targets, and so their stock dropped a lot in the aftermarket. Yeah. I'm gonna just tell you one stat line, and that will be enough for you to freak out. I feel.
Do it.
Meta's VR division lost $3.3 billion.
All right.
So that is basically...
Could have bought Bungie with that.
They could have bought Bungie with that. Yeah, they lost the amount of money that somebody spent on Bungie.
This is for research. Research and development?
On $877 million of revenue.
For selling VR sets, right? Basically.
Well, it's the entire VR business.
This is what I'm saying, man.
Right,
I love our friends. Right, I love our friends, but yo, they're just eating too much, right? I don't think they're doing what Facebook hired them to do, to be innovative. And I, you know, just seeing the products that's being Horizon and all this stupid social,
like we said here,
3D avatars.
Horizon workrooms and 3D avatars is dumb. Like, we're sitting here saying that. And in the same breath, I know somebody who said, oh, man, I did a Horizon workroom for work today and I'm hooked. It was amazing. And like, I don't, like, at that point, like, I just don't know who to I don't know who to believe or who, like, who am I to say other than to say that it's
bro, not me. Your friend was probably cashing his Facebook check at the same time. Right.
No, it's somebody who doesn't work at Facebook. Oh, wait, does he work at Facebook? Oh, he might work at Facebook.
Anyway. Oh, how interesting how I made that connection before you did. All right.
Yeah.
Bro, any regular bro.
Hold on, let me check.
Here's how I know it.
Oh yeah, he is at Facebook.
Please, Ray, please tell people about how amazing this experience is. Nobody is saying that, man. Maybe he's a little biased.
Maybe he's a little biased.
Bro, it's very easy, dude. It isn't rocket science. You show that stupid video to your wife. I'll show it to my son and see what they say. You know what they're going to say? I don't get it. What's the point of this? Right? That's what they're going to say. It's stupid. Yeah. The graphic looks dumb, right? There's what do you do in this stupid world, right? Nothing. Nothing. You Brandon, do nothing.
We are they're spending a lot of money to experiment.
Yeah, $3.3 billion on $800 million. You know, $3.3 billion? That's a lot of buffet that they've been feeding their team for doing nothing. And I'm you know, I want these game developers to succeed, right? I want VR. I think VR is amazing, right? I love my Half-Life Alyx experience. I think it's the next big thing when it comes, right? Again, unfortunately, Facebook buying VR haven't really made an impact that I would think they would be making at this point, right? I feel like they have slowed down quite a bit. I think they're putting a lot of their hopes and dreams into making Facebook 2.0 and pushing in a direction that isn't, you know, gamer first, right?
Yeah. The thing I'll say about this is I respect the boldness of it. I respect putting
the Quest 2.0, like, or what do you mean the boldness?
Facebook 2.0, Meta, sure. Metaverse push,
the dream.
All in. VR is an investment. AR is an investment. Virtual reality is an investment, right? And like let's really spend to be innovators in this space. Like I respect the hustle, right? Like for real. But it's
3.3 you know, billion hustle.
Right it's there. It's a big company, man, and they have to move and they need to hire a lot of people and they're gonna spend a lot of billions.
Right? All right, and it's Ray. All right. I'm just going to ask you this, right? You saw what they had with Horizon, right? As a game developer, was that $3.3 billion worth to develop? Like, to me, like a small indie group would have made something better than that in the last year.
Yeah, there's clearly some inefficiencies.
A gap there, yeah.
Yeah, there's clearly some inefficiencies, right? Because like...
it's the buffets, man.
For example, to do the same thing that they're trying to do, they could have just bought some other... There's a company that did... I can't remember their name, but they did the conference. They did the conference software for AfroTech.
Okay.
Right? And it was a virtual conference, but it was like in a virtual world, right? Yeah. And so they had these virtual... And you could speak
with avatars.
They had virtual booths, they had avatars, they had a whole thing, right? And this company, that's what their business is running these virtual conferences and you can script it up and customize it, bring in your own assets, all that kind of stuff. Like Facebook could probably save a lot of money and just bought those guys.
And then they could have bought those guys, but I think
integrated.
Well, here's the problem, right? Like I think their main problem is that they're treating this as a business first, as an enterprise first product, right? And VR, its roots is in games. And to be honest, what made Facebook great the first time around was they nailed the user experience, right? And to me, that the UI UX experience is a game experience, right? And what they're doing right now, they're kind of force feeding these practical use scenarios before finding the actual fun of it first. Yeah, right?
Well, I agree with that, but because like I think we all know like games is not going to pay the bills and it's not them.
No, but like games right now to me have exceeded the traditional sense of what a game is, right? For when we were growing up or what we play games for, it's different now. Games to me are the fundamentals of what make games applicable to like nowadays tech is that it's the user experience, like being able to make something addictive. Right now VR, I feel like they're completely misunderstanding why it's fun, right? Why it's cool. And they're just basically recreating Google Meets. They're in the direction of making Google Docs, right? This is the priority.
I think they know it's like what makes VR gaming fun is the immersion, right?
Yeah.
And so what if you could be immersed in other things and form human connections in other things, right? Because like if you get that right, it's more than just like it can make.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like
any game, if you get that right, you know what I mean? So them looking at, and then who's going to also pay for this kind of stuff, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Right? In its current form, the people that would pay for headsets and things like that at scale are not average people on the street. It's corporations. No. It's corporations.
Yeah.
Right. And so business to business, right? So perfect your recreation of Google Docs and Google Meets. You could sell it to companies for a lot of money, right? And then that starts the process that helps fund more research so you could get it to the point where you can become mass adoption for every person out there on the street, right? Like, I mean, you could see how this makes sense, at least, right?
Yeah, I can see how it makes sense,
I'm not saying this is like the best way to go about it.
But in this time frame, the last 2 years, right? There was a huge need for people working remotely and getting connected, right?
Yeah.
To me, Facebook completely dropped the ball in these past 2 years to create something compelling to kind of solve this issue. Like in the same time, Zoom like came out of nowhere, dominated the conversation, right? They were an itty bitty company and it's just a regular meeting thing and they did a few things good, but they did it really well.
But it's exploded.
It's over for them now. But what I'm saying is they made their money, they did what they had to do, and they focus on what they're good at doing. Yeah. Right? Facebook, it's about social connection and me going on there to kind of see what longtime friends who are living far away, what's up with them, right? Mm-hmm. Why are they doing this, all these other stuff? You know, it's like completely missing the point. I don't even think Horizon is about that. I don't even know what it is, to be honest, right? I feel like it's trying to be Nintendo, but not quite, right? With the Miis.
It's trying to be Second Life, right?
Second Life anymore?
I'm just saying that's what they're trying to be, right? They're trying to be a better version of Second Life.
You need to go to Animal Crossing, from Nintendo and just copy it and do that. I mean, this formula has been figured out through games. It's like, why do people hang out in lobbies? Why do people like talking to each other on these online forums, right? Yeah. It's been figured out. I feel like what they're doing is Zuckerberg is trying to reverse engineer and basically invent how this formula has been made by great game designers, right? I feel like they're just missing awesome game designers.
You know for a fact they have game designers working for them, right? And so it's not like they have
burnt out game designers, man.
It's not like they lack the money or the funds, right? But like I said before, I think a lot of it is also just the scale.
I think they're spending big dollars, obviously, in the wrong places, right? They're getting these hotshot game designers with the resume because to them that is an obvious choice. I'm telling, go all the way to the trenches of the new and upcoming game designers with new ideas that have their passion. I feel like right now Facebook, sorry for a lot of Facebook people. We know we have a lot of friends, but these guys are burnt out, man. The number one reason why they went to Facebook, right? And don't deny this, bro. Don't deny this. The number one reason why they went to Facebook at this point of their career, late in their career, they're seniors, is because they want that steady paycheck and they want to go home, right? That's the only reason why.
I would not say only. I would never.
Biggest reason why.
Yeah. I would say it's definitely one of the reasons.
That's the biggest reason why. For sure. They're not there to make games, bro.
I think part of it too.
The last game designer that was a hot shot that wanted to make games for VR was Carmack, and he left.
You talk about he's still on the payroll though. But like you talk about this a bit too, right? It's like it's your opportunity to not be working.
Yeah.
Crazy hours.
Yeah.
to not be worried if tomorrow you won't have a job and won't be able to feed your children and your family, right? And for some, I would say that it's also opportunity to have proper backing to really realize any sort of vision or dreams that you may have, right? Like, so if you're like, you're making a video game, you're going to impact a certain group of people that play that one video game.
Yeah.
You go to a couple like Facebook, Google, or whatever.
Yeah.
You could do something that impacts and influences billions of people.
Yeah, I know. I think the opportunity to make something out of Facebook in VR, impacting the future with a larger group of people. Yes, I think that is.
And if you're one of the people ushering in this new glorious future of the metaverse, like through some magic, like that becomes something that happens, right?
Yes, I think
that
could be. I'm telling you, man, I agree with you there, but I think it's like the fifth reason why. And he came to Facebook. It is not number one. It is not number two, right? And those, I hate to say it, but the people, the game designers, the game developers that are at Facebook right now are not the passionate game developers who are still young in the career with new ideas, right? And hey, man, this is not a theory. Look at what they produce. What they produce is not even compelling to me and you. Right? Yeah. And we're huge supporters of VR. Like, me and you
also, like,
are probably the ones that have the most VR sets that we know.
Yeah, I know some folks that work there or whatever. And like one person in particular said something like along the lines, like, there's not enough video game people there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so there's that too, right? It's like,
yeah, well, look at this crowd, right? So we have a mixture of like business people, right, who knows game design, right? And then like these burnout game designers that are there for the food and paycheck.
But it's also just, it's just impossible at the scale, right, that they're at.
It's not impossible. I think they're just bro, $3.3 billion. You're telling me you can't find the right studios that are making compelling VR content right now?
The right smaller studios, like, they have bought some of them, actually. They bought some,
and they need to continue on that path. This internal team is a bust.
But I'm saying there's others are just like, well, there's a lot of reasons, right? Like, you know, this whole, like, you want to hire me, and you are subverting democracy and all that. Like, there's all the baggage that comes with that. But then there's also people that just want to make video games and have fun and not be involved in all that craziness, right? Yeah. And so,
I mean, it's an ugly business to be a part of, for sure. I mean, we can sit down and make games, great, but I just don't think anyone's is sitting down and making great gaming decisions there at Facebook, man. I'm only saying this not just to be salty, man. I want VR to succeed. I love VR. I see it as, you know, to me, Ready Player One. So what?
Since when?
Since when did I like VR?
Yeah.
I've liked it ever since.
I swear on this very podcast, you've been hating on VR for years.
Have I
remember that incorrectly?
You remember it incorrectly the same way you thought your friend doesn't work for Facebook and then he's like championing their stupid products, right?
maybe I'm wrong, but I swear.
I've always loved the idea of VR, right? The first time, I mean, as an environment artist, I think VR, if anything, has been a great champion for environment artists, right? Being able to be sucked in a virtual world and having things feel tangible. I mean, it's more of environment than character, right? So as an environment artist, I see as VR finally respecting what I do for a living, right? And you know, I was hopeful that Facebook would create the stability, but the same way that I'm complaining about all these acquisitions that don't make sense, it's going to invite stagnant mobility, right? It has slowed down quite a bit. I mean, a lot of the OG for Oculus left from that acquisition, like hardcore gamers who wanted VR to be like this next big gaming thing, right? Yeah. And clearly Facebook wanted to go in this stupid Zoom meeting direction, right? And it's stupid, right? It's not out yet, but it's on the path of stupid, right? So it's like, to me, it's like, not.
It's also not the only thing they're doing, but anyway.
Sure, but it's one of their premier products, right? Yeah. It's veering on this path, and on like to me, they just need to buy Nintendo, and Nintendo go in with their team and like, you know, listen at what they're trying to do and gamify it, right? And do what game designers do. Right now, they're just creating, like what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing from friends that are working there, people are spending their extra time, funny enough, making side projects, you know? They're doing basically, you know, independent games, all their passions going to their side thing, not at Facebook, man. I just don't see their passion in the products there. And it shows, like the stuff that they're showing right now is completely missing the point of what makes Facebook unique or what used to be popular. And it's very easy, man. I just want to go on there and catch up with my friends because otherwise, you know, I wouldn't be able to. I mean, it's a very simple game design doc that they're completely not, no one's writing their game design doc over there. And I do feel like it's dying, man. And that's why I'm so upset about it. I feel like VR is going to die the way it's going right now. The only hope I have right now is what's going on with PlayStation VR. That's my only hope of VR right now. Like, I think PlayStation is investing a good amount of resources. They're going to make some kick-ass games along with that. They're going to drive VR games forward, right? They're my only hope, man.
I think if you're holding out for VR games, bro, like, good luck.
But that's what I mean. PlayStation's the only one left.
No, like...
A Steam, VR maybe?
VR games is not where money's at this thing.
I know, but it's sad. Like, I'm very sad about it because if their games are not there, the hardware will disappear. Like, this is your theory.
The hardware is just going to become lighter weight, smaller.
Yeah. You know what they call that? Dead weight.
Well, yeah. Like it's
scrapware.
Of course, at the same time, technology is also increasing, right? So like, it's not, VR games is not where Zuckerberg's going with this, clearly, and it's also not where the money is, I think, clearly as well.
But like, this is where I feel the old guards need to leave, because games now have the definition of what makes a game have transcended what we used to grow up with Nintendo's. It's different now. Gamifying something means something else now. It's just, what is this user experience, this loop, this game loop that makes people want to come back? Mm-hmm. Funny enough, the original Facebook had that game loop, right? It was addictive for anyone that was a part of it. They're missing that. Like, they feel like they went... Yeah. Billionaire mindset right now.
I think everybody just needs to chill on virtual worlds. Like, just chill. Like that's not happening. Like, it's still janky. It's still terrible. Everybody still thinks it's horrible. We need to chill on that. And we really need to double down on AR.
Yeah.
Lightweight, low power AR. Yeah. And augmenting the world that we're in right now.
The blend.
And blending AR 3D stuff into the real world that we're in. I think that is really the direction it needs to go.
Yes.
And once you do that, like, you could have a meeting, like sitting at your kitchen table with other people that show up with their avatars in AR, or, you know, like,
that'll be sweet. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that is really the direction that this stuff needs to go.
Who's doing that? Not Facebook. That's what's disappointing. Who is doing that? Like, to me, we just came up with a better idea through speech, right? No visuals than what Facebook showed us with their $3.3 billion purchase.
They showed everything, though. They showed VR, then they showed somebody on their phone.
But that's what's disappointing about it. They showed everything, and we saw everything, and we were like, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, like, if you imagine a world like that, I think it would be pretty amazing where it all works seamlessly like that. But it's just the technical hurdles and the time horizon on that is just too long and too much for us to even fathom right now.
Yeah.
And I'm more just focused on like, let's just focus on what is actually attainable in a very short time frame.
Yeah, I agree. To me, they were missing a step. Like, and we can end it with this, right? Snapchat to me is something that they're doing something really cool with AR stuff, right? And I feel like Facebook should have gone in that direction where in between they had these AR type of features that extended their kind of like web page, you know, functionalities, right? It would have been awesome to be able to, like you said, sit at a kitchen table and, you know, see your friend through your phone in AR somehow as part of your environment. Like, unfortunately, I feel like they're using their whole VR division for the stupid Nintendo Wii.
I'm sure they have a thousand
parody
going on, right? Like, I don't think.
Okay. But we saw Horizon, their best three.
I don't think Horizon.
You don't think they showed their best three to us in this last year? Saved all the good ones.
No, I think they're also doing a lot of research into like what's the future. Like, I think everybody knows that this stuff is not very good, right? And so it's like, okay, let's research how the hell do we make it better, right?
Oh my god, like human, I feel like your
computer.
Seriously, they're human, acting like my students in human, a school relearning computer, how game works.
Human computer interaction in 3D is very hard.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, should this thing be in 3D at all? Should it be 2D in a 3D world? Like, what is the interaction mechanism? Like, I think like a lot of this stuff is completely unanswered questions for good reason, because they're hard. Right. And
but I think if you give me a month, we'll come up with something better.
These are legit hard problems. Right.
And so they are hard problems.
I'm sure somebody, I'm telling you,
if it was John Carmack with a PowerPoint presentation of what we just discussed, it would have been so much more compelling to what they showed. And it wouldn't have cost $3.3 billion is what I'm saying. Right. They showed was not worth 3.3 billion bucks, right? Yeah. It made me feel bad shitting on Bungie for the last half hour, right? It's like $3.3 billion, and that's what I got for this past year. At least Bungie gave me two Destinies, right? In the five-year span.
I think there's a lot that you have not seen, is what I'm saying.
Oh my god. All right. I mean, what's under a pile of shit? I mean, like, like, what more can you? Yeah. You expect any more than your voice?
Why am I always the more optimistic? Like,
because you,
I don't know. Like,
you're just more hopeful than I am.
I think I agree that like $3 billion is a lot of money to be spending
in a year. Right? That was a year.
That was
expense.
That was a quarter, dude.
A quarter expense?
Yes.
Bro.
And a quarter.
Like, yeah. I'm all for game developers getting their money, but at this point, it's extortion, right? It's like, what are you guys doing over there? Like, what are you doing?
That was the quarter.
But that's anyway, ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but then when you like, Facebook has like 30 or 40,000 employees, you're like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense.
Okay, but like, if you were to look at that sector, right, VR sector,
yeah,
like, I'm pretty sure there's stakeholders are not happy about that.
Well, the stock price dropped a lot, but I think the part of it too is like, there's this culture of like growth, right? You gotta grow, and you gotta spend, right? And I think there's some folks that are hopeful that VR, AR, Metaverse, like when whoever solves this problem or is at the forefront of this problem stands to make a lot of money.
Okay. Right? Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there's that big carrot at the end of the stick. Yeah.
So $3 billion in a quarter, if you think you're going to be making hundreds of billions down the line.
Oh my God. See, that's the same logic as someone buying a $1 lottery ticket and saying, I could be winning, you know, $250 million.
This is what fuels all of this stuff, though, right? Like, there's some companies that have solid fundamentals and have revenue and don't spend all their revenue and then they make a profit. There's a lot of companies like that, and they're solid companies that you should invest in and respect and all that. And then there's another set of companies that are just burning through money, right? With the hope that is future growth. It's growth now, that will get you future earnings down the line. It is a bet. It is gambling. It is a risk, right? And it's just like, how much people can you convince that it's the right move, right? Like,
yeah.
there's a whole bunch of companies that this is how they operate, right?
All this is my last word, right?
Yeah. And a lot of them fail. A lot of them fail too, buddy.
Well, Facebook will fail because this is how I go on Facebook maybe once every couple of days, right? Yeah. To check latest updates for my friends. Mm-hmm. And it's a horrible experience. Like, they have not, if they should be spending the resources fixing the existing problem of Facebook and understanding, you know, what is the next steps and be able to turn that website, you know, as a preliminary of what this VR world they're imagining should be, right? On a flat piece of screen.
I hear what you're saying, but I think they see that and they're like, this is the reason why we need to do this.
No. This is grasping at straws, because to me, this is the same problem why Facebook went downhill, because they fattened up all their employees with nice salaries, right? And a nice lunch, right? There's no motivation of that team as a culture to innovate, right? And now they're doing the same thing as game developers, bringing in these game developers and integrating them in this culture of fattening up their wallets and stomach,
you sound like,
right?
You want some of that barbecue. That's what you sound like.
I wouldn't mind stopping by for buffet any day, guys.
And you want some of that barbecue.
I'm just saying the same formula being utilized in this VR department, and there is no way of them turning around. Like,
you wake up in the morning and you're like, damn, I gotta make my own coffee.
Bro, there's a reason why John Carmack, right, saw what was going on and bounced, right? He was like, this is not how you make anything fun. This is not fun. Like, why would I care about John this stuff? That's why he left,
rich.
Man.
No, he's just too rich. Right.
He saw the signs. He saw it basically was a meeting of Zuckerberg getting overexcited over his like poster of what 2022 looks like for VR, right? And John Carmack took one glance at it and he just walked out. He's like, you guys, I'm done. I guess it's time for me to retire. Like, that's really what it was.
No comment. I do not know this guy. I'm not
a Anyways, Facebook, call me anytime. If you want the innovation, I got ideas, man. But I hope.
Here,
I hope.
I'm just here trying to live.
Well, I mean, we've done more than an hour. You started with the acquisitions, but then, you know, it was basically me ranting about why it doesn't make sense. But
you're just ranting, making yourself unemployable at a bunch of
so hey, man, that's why I created the podcast, so I can just rant without remorse. That's my whole theme. This time I actually put your Twitter handle for those watching the video. But for those listening, can you repeat how people can hit you up to challenge you on things that you said?
Yeah, Twitter is the place to do that.
Okay.
WADARASS. That's what's up.
All right. Thanks, guys. As always, once a month, we do these roundtable news episodes. If you guys have suggestions, hit me up. If you have anything to say on what I said, on what Ray said, you know, you can always jump in our Discord channel or, again, tweet at us. We would love to kind of hear.
Tag Brandon and tell him how much
I can. Yeah, I can go all day, man. To all my Facebook friends, it's all love. Right.
Oh Lord.
It's all love. Yeah, you know, the hate is to motivate, right? It's to motivate you guys to do better. All right. I'm out. Thanks, guys. See you guys next week. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BLUCHAMPS. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/bluechamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.